afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, January 24th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. That accent sometimes gets a little contagious here.
Well, you hang around. We'll learn you how to talk right.
You're all going to learn me how to talk?
Yeah, going to learn you how to talk. That's right.
All right. Well, Southern accents, as long as it's slow, but you do have a tendency to talk pretty fast.
Well, what can I say? I mean, I talked Marcia and Miriam in just a matter of a few months, and, you know, so I had to talk fast to get her.
I guess you did. And,
I haven't slowed down since then.
Well, the markets today were kind of interesting. And there was pressure on gold for a long time. Last hour of trade. It's just amazing how they, you know, just let the market do nothing all day long, and at the last hour that everybody comes in and saves the paper markets and so forth. Gold was the same, was down most of the day, had a reversal, yay, at the end of the day, up $6.10 at $1,842. But silver wasn't as lucky, it's still down 34 cents at $24.03. Platinum was down $3 at $1,035. But palladium was up almost 2% at 2,229. The USDX today, that was stronger, 0.25 at 95.90. Crude oil was down a buck and a half at 83.68. I'll read you the market. You know what? It is really amazing. It's so amusing how they can do what they do. It's disgusting and amusing at the same time. There is no such thing as the way these free markets are. The Dow was down 1,000 points. The NASDAQ was down 5%. 5%. When I saw the numbers this morning, I thought to myself, yeah, they're going to end up by the end of the day. And the numbers just kept dropping all day long. They just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. It's like, well, maybe they'll bring them back. Maybe they won't. Yeah, they're still going to. And guess what? They ended up to the positive, to the green. Amazing.
Wow. Wow.
And not just by a little. The Dow was up 100 points. Up. After dropping 1,000, they were up 100 points, 34,364. The S&P was up 12 at 4,410. And the NASDAQ, it was up 86 points at 13,855. It really is amazing. It truly is amazing with what they can do with their digits. And Nikkei, Asian markets were up except for the Hang Seng. European market, they were all negative. Hey, Germany was down 4%. France was down 4%. The FTSE, it was down almost 3%. And we were all up today? Yeah, okay.
We have a better team than they do, Melody.
We do. You know, it's just amazing. They paired their losses. The S&P has been hovering around a 10% drop from its record close back on January 3rd. And I think, I don't know, you have the U.S. Federal Reserve. They're due to convene its two-day monetary policy tomorrow. And so everybody's, you know, it's so ridiculous and stupid, Butch. Everybody just hangs on the breath of Jerome Powell or whatever Fed chair's in there, like it really is going to make a difference, or where we're at, searching for clues. That's what they're going to do. All of these, investors and analysts, and they're going to search for clues from what his statement is going to be. It's really ridiculous. And I mean, it's humorous. And but of course, we're going to talk about the geopolitical tensions that are heating up with NATO announcing it was putting forces on standby. I didn't think Ukraine was a NATO member, so I don't. I guess maybe the surrounding areas. Huh?
Oh, it isn't. It isn't. And Russia says it's not going to be.
And that's all we'd have to do for him to pull out is to say, okay, they won't be.
That's right.
But he's not going to stand. But, you know, we're not going to do something so simple.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about that in a little bit. A lot of news come down.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so that's what it was in the market. So it should be an interesting day, but the power of the plunge protection team, ladies and gentlemen, they did a good job today. So your 401s, your retirement accounts, your pension plans were saved today, and temporarily. And, I mean, that was pretty much what we're going to talk about, Butch, is the Ukraine. I don't know if that's where you want to start, but
we can start a lot of different places here. There's a lot of news, but I would like to start something, I think, on the good side of the news. Just, we got a lot of bad stuff. Folks, we got a lot of bad stuff to cover because it's important. We're heading into a mess here way beyond what we can imagine.
Can I say something, Butch? You say bad things. It's not bad things.
Well, they consider bad news, but it's just facts. We got to face them.
It's just the news.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, but it's not bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's... Go ahead.
These are facts.
They're facts.
If your house is burned down, you're laying in bed, and you keep saying, well, I'm not worried about it. It's not really burned that bad. And you get fried, you know, like bacon. Who are you going to blame? This happening. Our house is on fire, folks. Our house is on fire. The world's on fire.
It is.
But on the good news side, the more I hear about Governor Noem out of South Dakota, the better I like that lady. Very, very pretty cow, I guess you call it cowgirl. But she's, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem announced his proposal to ban most abortions in the state. Bless her heart. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is taking another step toward fulfilling her September pledge to ensure South Dakota has the strongest pro-life laws in the books. The first-term governor's latest round of pro-life bills was announced Friday, the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. The two bills will adopt similar legislation to Texas Heartbeat Act, preventing abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, and finalize Noem's September executive order blocking telemedicine abortions. The announcement also signals Noem's nod to the thousands in D.C. rallying for the National March for Lives protest. Every human is unique and beautiful from the moment it is conceived. Every life is worthy of our protection, worthy of the right to live, Noem stated in a press release. We hope that this year's March for Life will be the last, and that the Supreme Court will finally protect every unborn life. Bless her heart. Now, I gotta say it. I'm proud of that lady. I don't even know her, but I'm proud of some of the stands she's taken. I really am. And you have to give her credit for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'll never get to meet the lady, I'm sure, but I wish I could see her and thank her for what she's doing. Now, move on to some things here, though, other issues, but I just had to share that. Folks, there are some good things happening amidst all this chaos, all this insanity, all this dysfunctional governments all over the world and people also. There are some good things happening. Now, I thought you'd like to know this, Melody. Just in case you're interested, here's what Congress thinks of America's citizens. Based on population, they gave Israel $56,361 per person. Sudan got $16,746 per person. Egypt got $13,209 per person. Ukraine, $10,791. Cambodia, $5,262 per person. Nepal, $4,638. Burma, $2,513. And the good old U.S. of A gets $600 per person. So there you go, Melody. That's how much they think of us.
Well, did we think of anything different?
That's our government at work. I don't know. We're laughing. What are you going to do? I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just unbelievable. I mean, we watch it happen, and I'm sure the masses don't know that. But if they didn't know, they'd probably just shrug out and go on. Now, you covered already about the markets. I don't know how they pulled out today. I mean, lost over 1,100 points and pulled back out the positive. I don't know how they did that. I know they have a plunge protection team, but how much sway do these people have? I mean, think about that huge. I mean, it bounced it back up, Melody, from being under, what, 2.5%, roughly, I'm guessing, and back up to a positive side?
Personally, what I've said all these years, there's no proof, there's no nothing, but I just believe they're. It's computers, it's algorithms, and it's computer digits, and who's to say they're just not in there changing the numbers? You know, well, doing what needs to be done. I mean, you've got people out there that we have no idea the capabilities of these hackers and computer people and what they can and can't do. I mean, my gosh. Sometimes my IT guy talks to me about some of the things that they're capable of doing, and it's mind-boggling because you don't see anything written about it. You don't see anybody talking about it. You don't see, but it's there. So, yeah, the plunge protection, it doesn't take dollars, I don't think, going in. It just takes computer manipulation to do it. Oh, well, then they'll never change. Yes, it will change because eventually even the sellers will overtake any manipulation that they can have, because it still has to be a reasonable amount of people have to accept it. But yeah, the plunge protection team, you bet. You know, but why wouldn't it, Butch? You got all the major central banks around the world. You got all your major banks, central, you know, your Citigroup, not Citigroup, but Goldman and JP and all of them. Yeah.
Well, just tell me this, and you probably know this. I don't. Who is the plunge protection team? Who are they? Who are the people sitting on the team?
Banks.
Just banks.
J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan. Okay, Goldman Sachs.
So the banks are the ones that actually are able to pull the rabbit out of their hat every day.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. That is phenomenal. I mean, central banks, and we were warned about that by Thomas Jefferson a long time ago, what would happen to a nation lets that happen. And it was fought by many presidents who tried to stop it, and Jackson's one of them. But now here we are, full into it, with a fiat currency, taxed to pieces, controlled by every piece of legislation out of D.C. and local states and federal counties, control the people, tax the people, take their properties, and here we sit wondering what happened. What happened?
But, I mean, this was done way back during the crash of 87.
Yes,
Reagan
it was.
Did it.
Yes.
You know, and,
yes,
it, and the professional name is the working group. That is the real name of it. It wasn't called the plunge protection team. That was tagged, I think, in the 90s. Yeah, it's just your main banks. You betcha, that are on there.
So I guess they just kind of meet every day and watch what's happening, and then push buttons when they have to. I suppose that's how it works. That's phenomenal. But that's still so much power, so much control. It's unbelievable.
But they actually say that's a conspiracy theory, Butch.
Oh, I know they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They say that. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Well, we're talking about being controlled. Poor California is one of the wealthiest states in the nation for how long, Bill? I mean, they were a nation to themselves, weren't they?
Yes.
Prospering and huge. Listen to this. California weighs doubling taxes to pay for a single-payer health care system that would cover illegal aliens. Folks, this is for real news. California lawmakers are considering doubling taxes that would cost each household $12,500 to pay for a single-payer health care system that would cover all illegal aliens. In 2019, California extended health care coverage to illegals 26 and under. In 2021, the state began covering illegals over the age of 55. Now, folks, isn't this wonderful living in this country? California lawmakers are weighing doubling taxes paid for a single-payer health care system that would cover all illegal aliens. I've done cover that, but anyway, now Newsom wants all illegals in California to have health care coverage. And California may see a tax increase of $12,250 per household. They won't cover them all ages, from a childhood until they die, I guess. But they're going to double the tax on the citizens of that state to do that. How much are the Californians going to tolerate? How much? I mean, they're leaving there already by the droves. But how much more can they tolerate? How much more can they afford to tolerate, Melody?
We'll find out,
I guess. But the gall of these politicians, I mean, illegal, lawbreakers, the same as murderers or rapists.
The majority of a lot of the people in California think, well, isn't that nice? Those poor people who've come to this country, we should take care of them, Butch. That's how most of those Californians think.
Well, they're getting what they deserve.
That's how the liberals think.
If they believe that, they're getting what they deserve. The only thing I don't like to see is a lot of them do leave, then they bring their ideas to the neighboring states and mess up those states, too.
And there are other conservative people in California, too, who don't believe that. But,
there
I mean,
are.
For the majority of California, that's the problem.
That really is. You know, that's a sad situation.
Like it's going to solve all of their other issues that they have.
Well, we're watching all the nation, but California is a good example of a deteriorating state, literally deteriorating every way possible, morally, economically, every way. It's falling into an abyss that there's no return from. That is socialism at work. That's a police state at work. That's California today, whether we like it or not. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's not the only state going that road. Illinois is also, and some others. But California, I think, is leading the way for this country to go. If we follow them, we're going right into the sea with the rest of the lemmings. That's all I can say. Any comments on that?
No.
Now, this is kind of, I think, exciting. Central banks record gold stockpiling. This is, I tell something. According to recently released data by the World Gold Council, as of September 2021, the total amount of gold held in reserve by central banks globally exceeded 36,000 tons for the first time since 1990. This 31-year-old record was the result of the world's central banks adding more than 4,500 tons of the precious metal to their holdings over the last decade, and it provides ample support for the investment case for gold, in both directly performance-related terms, but also from a big-picture perspective. Folks, if the central banks are buying gold, maybe you should consider that yourself. Would that make sense to you, Melody? I mean, if the ones who control the wealth of the world are buying gold, shouldn't we consider the same thing?
Well, they've been buying gold for a long period of time, you know. I can't even recall the last country I heard that was selling gold was actually Venezuela, but they had to. But we also have to go into a break. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Yes, the working team of financial markets did a good job today. Pat them on the back, Butch.
Yeah, really. Really. They keep that bubble going up and up and up.
Yes.
It's just amazing. But when it finally does go, Melody, the world's going to go with it. You know that.
Well, you know, it kind of makes me wonder if this Russia,
China now, too,
will be used to, you know,
get a mind
be the black swan to make the markets drop.
Yeah. And they blame everything on that, of course. But, I mean, we're seeing a lot of things happen now, and I'm going to talk about supply chain here in a second, but we're seeing a lot of things starting to come to fruition. It took a while for it to get here, but and now Biden is wanting to close the borders to unvaccinated Canadian and Mexican truckers on Saturday. This already happened this past Saturday. He wanted to close the borders to unvaccinated Canadian truckers and Mexican truckers who haul supplies and produce and lumber into the country. Now, that's really going to help us a lot economically, I'm sure. The U.S. will close its borders to unvaccinated and partially vaccinated Canadian and Mexican truck drivers on Saturday, the Department of Homeland Security said on Thursday. These updated travel requirements reflect the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to protecting public health while safely facilitating the cross-border trade and travel that is critical to our economy. The restrictions, which apply to all foreign essential workers, have been expected since U.S. officials announced them in October. They follow a similar rule that took effect at the Canadian border last Saturday. The border COVID-19 vaccine mandates are coming into force despite pushback from the truck industry. The impact will be felt most acutely for the U.S. and Canada freight market, where around 160,000 trucks regularly cross the border, 75% of whom are Canadian. Already, capacity has tightened significantly with huge price increases in the spot market. It adds to existing pressures, including COVID-19 itself, which left many fleets operating below full strength. The supply chain is already fragile, so it puts all of us in a precarious situation. Dan Equiter, CEO of Canadian Trucking and Logistics firm Challenger Motor Freight, told Freight Waves. The Canadian Trucking Alliance and American Trucking Alliance have projected that 10-15% of drivers may leave cross-border trucking as a result of the mandates and exacerbate existing supply chain issues. On Monday, several dozen Canadian truckers protested near the U.S. border in Emerson, Manitoba. Some truckers are already blocking highways and are upset about this, and good for them. Good for them. They're taking a virus. There have been viruses in existence ever since God created the world. They're taking a virus and closing down the economy of the nations, and America is one pickle the most right now because they want America brought to her knees, folks, and they're doing it step by step. They're doing this. This is not by accident. This is not something that they're, we're just trying to help the people. That's not true at all. They're wanting to control the people in this country, and they're doing it step by step, and you're going to see it increase over the next few months like you're not going to believe. And if we happen to go to war with Russia, God forbid, but if we happen to go to war with Russia and China, now we'll get China in a minute too, A lot of things going to happen that we never dreamed possible in this country, Melody. We have had it so soft for so long. I said we. I mean, I'm talking about me, too. I grew up, I guess, in a poor family, but we didn't know we were poor. We had food and clothing and shelter. We've had it made for so long that we can barely consider the fact that we may have to do without something. And this is not a good time to go to war with anybody. It never is. But America is in a very weakened state right now, and I have to consider that maybe that's what their plan is. Because we are weakened, why not do it now if they want to bring us down? That makes sense to you?
Absolutely, it does. But you got to remember something too. They're all going to look out for one another because they all want the New World Order. They all want one government. Sure. They all want, to some degree, they do. Basically, I think they all want the one economy. To keep their countries going and so forth, and you know, but it's, you know, I really can't imagine that we're going to me. I think war with Russia and Ukraine and so forth, and you got to remember too, you know, we talked about, well, it's another, I'm getting sidetracked because I keep wanting to go back to Ukraine, but what is Biden's relationship with Ukraine? I mean, you have his son who had a relationship. Mm-hmm. And no one is ever connecting, at least I haven't heard, connecting the dots and why we're going out on the limb. And they're making, and the White House is making it a pretty good point. Oh, this is NATO. This is NATO. We're doing what? And I'm thinking, I don't know, Butch. Something is rotten in Denmark, or something is rotten in somewhere.
Somewhere
in D.C. About D.C.? Something is rotten in D.C.
That's for sure. Now I don't know. Maybe they have something on Biden and his son that they say, if you don't help us, we're going to reveal this. Who knows? That could be part of it. If Biden doesn't want this to happen directly, maybe he can't stop it because they have things on him and his son both. I don't know what the reason is, but I just know that this heating up over there very quickly. And we've been talking about now from this program for at least 3-4 months, telling people this is going to happen, and now it's happening. But back to the economics here. Cargo ships wait off coast of Mexico as supply chain delays worsen. What's so frustrating to hear them say, we're going to fix this, and they never fix it. While a growing number of Los Angeles-bound cargo ships are now biding time off the coast of Mexico, supply chain crisis progressed this week as consumers found empty shelves in stores across the U.S. There's a big population of ships off the coast of Mexico, Kim Laudit, director of the Marine Exchange, told the Epic Times. If you look at the Pacific, it makes sense to go down there. The weather is better the further south you go. The number of ships waiting to deliver goods in Los Angeles has jumped about 12% since October, when President Joe Biden announced the ports will be open around the clock to ease congestion. The Marine Exchange reported 109 ships of all types were waiting in line to dock at the Los Angeles and Long Beach ports on January 19th. In mid-October, the number was about 170. So he didn't ease at all. It just got worse, folks. It also takes about 2 months longer to deliver goods from Asia to the Pacific Coast now than it did in 2019 before the pandemic, according to Flexport, a San Francisco-based freight forwarding company. In early January, Flexport found that westbound shipments from Asia took an average of 110 days, a 65-day increase, and a new record high. Meanwhile, consumers continued to express frustration across the social media with supply shortages this week as bare shelves Biden attended on Twitter. Photos of empty meat sections at Tennessee Walmart have been shared, as well as empty shelves in Ohio, Missouri, and around the country. Retail shortages are widespread. Jeff Freeman, president and CEO of Consumer Brands Association, a retail store advocacy group, told the Associated Press earlier this month. According to Freeman, typically U.S. grocery stores have 5 to 10% of their items out of stock. Now that rate is around 15%. That's enough to make a difference. So it continues. It continues. And, you would like to think, I would like to think that Biden, with his limited capacity, is doing everything they really knows how to do. He's doing what he thinks is best for the country. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. We're going to see shortages in this country that we never saw before. It's hard for us to believe in America that we could go in the store and they wouldn't have the food that we need to buy for the family. It's hard to imagine that. But it's going to happen. It is happening. And how much longer before people realize this has all been pre-planned? This was worked on, folks, before the pandemic ever started. Yeah. These are things that you got to go research for yourself. These are things they talked about before the pandemic ever started. And they found a good way to make it happen and blame it on something that's out of their control, a virus. We can control a virus. No, but you can keep the goods flowing and live with this, man, and make sure that people are fed and they're taken care of. You can't blame this is blaming something that's convenient for them to blame it on. Like you said, maybe that we'll go to war with Russia. They'll blame everything on that then. There's always something behind the scenes causing the problems other than the ones that are really doing the problems, like our politicians. So there we are. Anything you add to that?
No, it's interesting. I believe, was it Friday or Saturday, I went to go to the store. I was in the mood for a beef roast. There weren't any.
Really?
No beef roasts. Nope.
Wow.
There was a lot of hamburger. I was focused on a pot roast, so I didn't look for chicken or anything. I was zoned into my pot. Didn't have them.
Wow.
And they had a brisket. They had like 3 briskets.
That's good eating, but
I didn't want a brisket.
I can understand that. Well, I'm thankful that I had raised my own beef, so I have got that stuff in the freezer. But
would you send me one? I want a pot roast.
I would if I could. I certainly would.
Well, it's cold enough out, it'll stay frozen.
But, you know, it's just amazing, though, that, again, the prices. I haven't been in the store for a long time looking at meat prices. I just know what the neighbors told me that when we were shopping, the hamburgers ate over $8 a pound at a Family Dollar. I'm going to make a trip to the store, just go inside and see what the prices are on beef and other goods. I want to see how much they went up. I haven't checked them for a long time because I never had to. I have my own. I raised my own beef, and I shot a deer or two. I have my own venison, so I didn't worry about the price of meat. Maybe I'm going to have to take a look to see what it is to get an idea of what's going on. And this next story, we're going to tie into some different avenues here when I get through reading it. Iran halts gas flows. A disruption to natural gas imports from Iran has caused an unprecedented level of power cuts in Turkey. The power cuts have largely impacted major industrial zones, with some companies forced to halve production as a result. Folks, that means people aren't working. They're not producing, they're not working. Iran claims that its natural gas flows have been restored, but Turkey has said its supplies and gas pressure remain very low. Turkey is undergoing a massive power cuts to industrial customers this week at an unprecedented level never seen before after the country's natural gas supplies dipped following a disruption of imports from Iran. Major industrial zones and clusters of major production sites, including those of foreign car manufacturers, are being hit by power outages after Iran said that at the end of last week it would halt natural gas exports to Turkey for 10 days due to technical issues. Now, this is the point I want to make. If you have to depend on somebody else to supply your needs, folks, you are under control with that individual that supplies your needs. Understand that. It's like having parents. If they don't feed you as a child, you don't eat. If you got to trust somebody else to supply your needs, then you're not independent. You cannot take care of yourself. America has become one of the most dependent countries in the world. We manufacture very, very little here. I guess my pillow is one of the things we still make in this country. But most things that would come, our cars, our food production even, our medicines obviously, are not coming from this country. They come from our enemies. And Melody, as long as we depend on somebody else to take care of us, we'll never be an independent and free country. It's impossible. They control us economically. They control us what we eat. They control the medicines we take. They control us, period. So how can you be a sovereign nation when you can't even feed your own population?
You know, people have forgotten what it's like to be free.
They have.
And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, buy your food at the grocery store. That doesn't mean you can't do other things. But you have to have an understanding of what freedom really is about. And I think we've lost, not to everyone, of course, not to the people listening to this program, but there's a lot of other people out there that... We've lost that identity anymore.
Yes, so. We have. We truly have. And I know, as a young man growing up in a little town called Monroeville, West Virginia, is a little coal mining town, we raised almost all of our food Mom and Dad went to the store every couple weeks to buy the essentials, like flour maybe, or, you know, sugar, things that she had to have to do things with. But groceries, we raised most of our own. And we were more independent that way. We canned everything we could. We eat well, but it was all natural. We raised ourselves or got out of the woods.
Yeah, but, you know, was it different back in those days? Because, I mean, back in those days, you didn't think if you had power. I mean, we never thought of having a secondary heat source.
No.
We never thought that the power. Well, we had coal. We heated by coal.
We would coal ourselves, yeah, right.
But we never thought about running out of coal.
No. No, and always had wood.
So, even the homes with the electricity, you never thought about your power going off.
And it very seldom ever did.
And it never did. We mentioned that the other day. So we didn't have that same dependence on it, I think. We didn't realize it then.
No, we didn't. Well, if we had a phone, and we didn't have a phone until I was probably 12 years old before we had a telephone house. It was a hardline phone. You had one phone for the whole house. No such thing, of course, as cell phones, nothing like that needed. We didn't have it. We had a TV set, I think when I was 10 years old, about the first TV set. I can remember those things, but, you know, before we had them, we didn't know we missed them. We could miss them. We never had them before. But now things have changed. We become dependent on all this convenience today.
Yeah, we weren't dependent on telephones. I don't even know why we had telephones. If you wanted to go see, you visited people. You didn't need to call them. You visited people. There was no 911.
That's true.
So, I mean, what do we use telephones for?
I totally agree. We were never on it, you know.
If we called the grandparents, it was, when are you going to pick us up and so forth, but I don't know.
We become a soft nation that lives on convenience, and mm-hmm. somebody else providing their needs. And if the power goes off, just think about this, that if electricity did go off back then, we still had heat. We had a wooden coal stove in the front room. Mom could still cook. We had a gas stove. And she was cooked on a wood stove for years. Dad bought her a gas range. We always did heat water on the stove until years later when we finally got water in the house or the well. But we were more or less independent because that's the way we grew up. We didn't think anything about it. That's what we had to do to live. And the power went off, we survived. We didn't have to worry about that. If the food chain got cut off, we went to the basement, got some potatoes out of the basement, and maybe a can of strawberry jam, and had biscuits for breakfast. I mean, we were independent. Today, it's not that way. People run out of food in 3 days, their cupboards are bare. And if something happened, the stores are bare, what are they going to do? What are they going to eat? It's different, totally different today. And that should make everybody be a little bit concerned, folks, because if the electricity goes off more than a week, I'm asking this question, everybody listening today. Electricity goes off more than a week. How long can you live without going to the store? How long can you live without going to the store? How long can you preserve the food you have? If you got freezers full of food, how you can keep them froze? How long can you
preserve? It's easier in the wintertime.
In the wintertime it is, yes, yes. But we used to can a lot of meat. Yeah. Canned meat doesn't spoil. And it's very easy to fix. It's very good eating, by the way.
We're spoiled. We're heading into a break. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And I think we were finishing up that topic.
Yes, we were.
It's one that have been talking a lot about. What's next?
Well, I want to mention before we get into the topics about Russia and China, there's a very good possibility there's a lot of rhetoric going around that's not really true, maybe hyped up news. I mean, we know news media would do that to sell more time on the channels or more papers, whatever. But where there's smoke, there's got to be some fire somewhere. So before we get started, I'm going to read to you what they're saying. You can wait out, you can balance out in your own mind and figure out what they're doing and keep an eye on what's happening, because something is happening. UK's Johnson, Boris Johnson, said Russia is planning a lightning strike to take out Ukraine's capital. As we detailed earlier, EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell, during Monday's statements to the press, appeared to openly mock the UK and US for their dramatic announcements of embassy personnel evacuations due to the threat of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He said there's no need to dramatize the situation, given there's high hopes that ongoing diplomacy will prevail. Moscow, too, has continued to condemn what is called disinformation hysteria prevailing in the West, which is fueling the crisis further. But it seems London's content to hype things further when Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Monday cited gloomy intelligence from UK intel officials warning that Russia is planning a lightning war to strike at Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. Johnson said in a message directed at Russia that an offensive would be a disastrous step and a bloody business. While confirming that some British diplomatic staff have begun to exit the embassy at Kyiv and depart the country, Johnson affirmed, "We do think it prudent to make some changes now." The intelligence is very clear that there are 60 Russian battle groups on the borders of Ukraine. The plan for a lightning war that could take out Kyiv is one that everybody can see. We need to make it very clear to the Kremlin, to Russia, that could be a disastrous step. Okay. That's coming from the UK. That's coming from Boris Johnson. So, is that a lot of hype? Probably some of it could be. But I don't think all of it is. What would the game be doing that? What would be the point to say that if there wasn't some truth to it? What would be the, unless our side?
Well, say, for Johnson, you talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's ready to get kicked out of office. That could be one thing.
I'm gonna say
he's losing his position really fast.
Unless it benefits the one who's saying it somehow.
So, and, you know, maybe that's to keep him in office. Maybe he's saying that. I don't know.
Well, you know, we got to mix up a lot of wars. For the benefit of the elite. Why not this one? I don't know, folks. Wait up for yourself. If they want a war, they will manufacture a war. NATO puts forces on standby, deploys more jets and ships. Russia responds with 20 warships in Baltic. On Monday, NATO announced that it has put its forces on standby while initiating deployment of additional ships and fighter jets to Eastern Europe. NATO will continue to take all necessary measures to protect and defend all allies, including by reinforcing the eastern part of the alliance, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said in a statement. But now, Ukraine is not a part of NATO. That's the whole point to start with. Russia doesn't want to be. U.S. said it should be. That's the whole problem. We will always respond to any deterioration of our security environment, including through strengthening our collective defense, Stoltenberg added, while discussing the ongoing Russia-Ukraine showdown, which the Kremlin has denounced as hype and based on false allegations, is planning an invasion. The Kremlin has further reiterated the plea for Western countries to stop the hysteria, which itself is hyping the crisis further. One NATO diplomat has been cited in reports Monday saying the Biden administration is mulling a move to transfer some troops from Western Europe to Eastern Europe in the coming weeks. But the Western allies are also pointing to the additional Russian military units now deployed to Belarus in preparation for the announcement of joint war games to be held there next month. We are reaching the point where continuous Russian and Belarusian military buildup in Europe needs to be addressed by appropriate NATO countermeasures, Latvia's Foreign Affairs Minister Edgar Rustic stated on Monday. So we will see. Is there rhetoric? I don't know. Troops are moving. We're going to get more of that in a minute, but planes on the move, ships on the move, I don't know. Is it rhetoric? Is it all rhetoric? Is this something to scare people? I don't know, Melody, but it's a lot of things happening all across that area. I mean, it's from the Mediterranean to the Baltic Sea. The ships are moving, troops are moving. Something's coming together for some reason. They're really doing this. If it's not real, why are they doing it? Why panic? Who cares?
Well, we've seen them move a lot of troops and everything in the past. Get them ready. They're not moving the troops; they're just getting them ready. And
they said they're going to move some troops from the western part of Europe to the eastern part of Europe.
But the ones that they have on call, the 8,500, they're just calling them to be ready. So they're not activated yet or anything like that. I don't know. And you know, I listened to the. To their press conferences when I was coming back from my appointment this afternoon, and actually that was after the market started to turn around during those press conferences too, you know, because they were in the press conferences. I have to say they didn't seem like there was a whole lot of worry to them, and this is just normal. This is just something that we do, and they really didn't commit anything. They really didn't say anything to, you know, certainly. Disturb the markets because the markets came around. So everything is timed, you know, so I wouldn't hold a whole lot of I think things would be worse than what they're willing to tell us. And I think their people in their press conferences today was all about to show that Putin isn't weak like he is. And supposedly, Putin, there was a conference with some of the main European leaders late this afternoon. So I don't know what's come about that. So, yeah, Butch, you know, it doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. We shouldn't be there anyway.
No, we shouldn't be. You're right. The U.S. aircraft carrier strike group heads for Mediterranean amid Russia threats.
Yeah.
So... what's going on here, folks? The USS Harry S. Truman aircraft carrier strike group was heading for the Mediterranean on Sunday amid rising tension between the West and Russia. The nuclear-powered Nimitz class warship and 5,000-strong crew will take part in NATO exercises called Neptune Strike 22. Naval Striking and Support Forces, NATO led by the 6th Fleet Commander, Vice Admiral Gene Black, is overseeing the joint international deployment. The exercises are set to begin Monday and run through February 4th. It will demonstrate NATO's ability to integrate the high-end maritime strike capabilities of the aircraft carrier strike group to support the deterrence and defense of the alliance. He added the strike group, along with several other NATO allies he didn't name, will participate in coordinated maritime maneuvers, anti-submarine warfare training, and long-range strike training. Kirby insisted the war games had been long planned since 2020 and were not in response to the recent military aggression near the Ukrainian border, though the drills are not listed on NATO's website among exercises stated for this year. So I don't know, folks. It goes on. And Biden orders Americans to leave Ukraine, may send thousands of U.S. troops ahead of Russian attack. And we'll get to that in a minute. But why is this? I mean, they are withdrawing their personnel out of Russia, drew their personnel out of Kyiv, their diplomats. Now, I understand America's taking our diplomats out of Moscow. That is supposed to be a sign of imminent war. So I don't know, Mildy. I mean, I don't know what to add to that. What's your comments on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I've pretty much said them before. I don't know where this is headed. And, I mean, I don't trust Biden. I don't think, you know, he's not the one that's running the show.
No.
Of course, the presidents never are. They're only puppets anyway. But with his relationship with Ukraine, that's what concerns me the most. Or is he willing to go in there and do whatever is anything because of his ties to Ukraine? He has personal ties to Ukraine.
Yes, he does. His son does too. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a problem. And
Biden orders Americans to leave Ukraine, may send 1,000 U.S. troops ahead of Russian attack. President Joe Biden's State Department has ordered all families of U.S. government personnel in Kyiv, Ukraine, to leave the country immediately, due to the increased threats of Russian invasion. Biden is also considering sending thousands of U.S. troops to Eastern Europe to help bolster NATO forces. In a statement issued by the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, the State Department said it made the order out of an abundance of caution due to continued Russian efforts to destabilize the country and undermine security of Ukrainian citizens and others visiting or residing in Ukraine. We have been in consultation with the Ukrainian government about this step and are coordinating with allied and partner embassies in Kyiv as they determine their posture. Fox News confirmed that Mr. Biden is sending several thousand U.S. troops to Eastern Europe and the Baltic states to assist with NATO efforts in the region. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to even add to that. But China flies 39 warplanes towards Taiwan as tensions with the island rise. Another part of the world, another battle going on. Taiwan's Air Force scrambled its own jets and tracked the People's Liberation Army planes on its air defense radar systems, the defense ministry said. China's flown dozens of warplanes towards Taiwan in the largest display of power of the new year, continuing a pattern that caused the island to scramble its own jets in response. Formation of 39 jets on Sunday night included 24 J-16 fighter jets and 10 J-10 jets, among other support electronic warfare aircraft, according to Taiwan's defense ministry. Taiwan's Air Force tracked the People's Liberation Army planes on its air defense radar, it added. Chinese pilots have been flying towards Taiwan on a near daily basis during the past year and a half since Taiwan's government started publishing the data regularly. The largest sortie was 56 warplanes on a single day last October. The activity has generally been in the airspace southwest of Taiwan. This falls into what Taiwan military calls the Air Defense ID Zone, with airspace that monitors and out of national security considerations. Taiwan and China split during a civil war in 1949, but China claims the island has its own territory. The action came a day after the United States and Japanese and Navy put their own show force in the Philippine Sea. The flotilla included two Navy aircraft carriers, two American amphibious assault ships, and Japanese helicopter destroyer. So I don't know, folks. I have no idea. But this comes from a Chinese colonel, and this is said on TV. This is always from the World News Desk. A senior colonel with Chinese People's Liberation Army went on state-owned broadcast CCTV television last night and warned that the U.S. comes to the aid of Taiwan in any conflict, U.S. aircraft carriers will be sunk in the South China Sea and China will go immediately to full-scale nuclear war. Senior Colonel Fang Bin then openly asked if the U.S. wants to reformat the Earth through nuclear war. So, I don't know. I mean, this apparently was really a true statement that you can watch it on, you can find it online. And it's reported by World News Desk. So apparently this colonel said, if you come in here, we'll go immediately to a nuclear war. Should that concern us? I think so.
You think?
You know, I would think so. No one wins a nuclear war, Melody. No one wins a nuclear war. No one.
No.
Actually, no one wins any war. Everybody loses. Just some lose more than others. But there's no win to a war. You can't consider it a win when you lose hundreds of thousands of millions of people in a battle. And a nuclear war, no, that's something that we don't even contemplate. But this colonel said, if you help Taiwan, that will be our immediate move to go to nuclear war. Wow. Anything you want to add to those comments, Melody, by that time anyway?
I mean, there's really not a whole lot to add. You know, I still hang on to the hope that they won't do it, that they're not going to do it, because, you know, they have too much to lose. They themselves, those that are in control. So, but yet, and you know what? We just need to mind our own stinking business.
Been doing that for years. And then
well,
years.
I know. Just think where we'd be if we had. We wouldn't be here. But
we wouldn't be in this mess. That's right. Even George Washington warned us in his farewell address, don't get entangled in foreign affairs.
Yep.
But we've done it because we wanted to build an empire. And empires never end a good way. Ever. Ever in history. All empires crumble. Usually from the inside out, but they crumble.
They do. So
that's what we're seeing happen right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's not much to say about that. You know, I just pray that it doesn't happen. We still have problems, whether it does, or we have bigger problems if it does happen.
Oh, yes.
And
yes. Just keeping their
head
above
water. And if you think
water.
The shortages are bad now, just wait.
Yeah,
if that
oh,
happens.
My. Can you imagine a ground war with Russia and what they have with China? Oh, my. We are not equipped for that now. Economically, any other way, we're not equipped for that. We're not.
So we'll see who has control.
Call Melody. Please call Melody and prepare yourself. Please. I'm asking you that because I really care, believe it or not. 800-375-4188. Do something to prepare for the future. It won't hurt at least talk to her.
And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.